Estás escuchando SBS en español.
Lydia Thorpe, thank you so much for your time today for SBS Spanish.
Thank you for having me.
You come from a long line of amazing Indigenous matriarchs. Your grandmother, Alma Thorpe, was one of the founders of the Victorian Aboriginal Health Service. And your family, the Thorpes in general, are very well-known activists within the Indigenous rights community. Now you're a senator for Victoria representing the Greens. And before that, you were also the very first Aboriginal senator for Victoria, also for the Greens. Were politics always a natural thing for you to get into?
I was born into politics. In this country, Aboriginal people are born into justifying our existence, fighting for our very existence and protecting our land and water. So I was born into a different kind of politics, and that is the politics of maintaining our cultural identity and our cultural connection for future generations. You're basically born fighting. You're born into a struggle in this country. And so I've always been outspoken and always stood up for our people's rights and our country's rights, which ultimately in the colonizers' space makes me political or makes me an activist. And through my life experiences of working with my people and for my people and having a loud mouth or a voice that I'm able to connect with people and teach people, I somehow ended up in the position that I'm in today.
You've lobbied for many, many causes, but you're well known for leading the way for a historic treaty in Victoria. Tell us about that process and your ideas around representation.
Australia is the only Commonwealth country in the world that doesn't have a treaty with its first people. So it's, you know, we've been colonised here for over 240 years. We've seen mass genocide, we're experiencing mass incarceration, mass child removal and mass destruction of our land and our water. And we as First People of this country have never negotiated a settlement or a way forward that we could unite this nation and value the oldest continuing living culture in the world, which is Aboriginal people in Australia. So a treaty is a way to make peace. A treaty is a way where we could identify the challenges that we face, but also stamp out the human rights injustices that Aboriginal people in this country continue to face on a daily basis. We are treated like third-class citizens in our own country. We're the poorest, we're the sickest people in our own country, and we are only 3% of this population. So, we've had clans and nations absolutely annihilated since colonisation. And before we, go any further, we've experienced COVID and we've seen how people can come together and look after one another, and we also see the importance of country and water in these times of the pandemic. So how about we sit down and we negotiate a treaty that could unify this nation, give it an identity. This country does not have an identity. We are its identity, and there's so much to learn from us, and treaty is a mechanism that could do that and bring people together and start learning the true history of this country. It's been denied to so many people for so long. So, there's important elements to a treaty that we could start straight away, and that's why I'm passionate about a treaty in this country, because we need peace. We need peace.
In terms of the treaty, one of the biggest challenges is finding a united voice, or, getting everyone together on the same page. When we talk about Indigenous Australia, we're talking about more than 200 different nations, cultures, languages, and most people or most migrants to this country might have the idea that it's a monolithic, unified Aboriginal Australia, when that is not necessarily the case. There are differing issues, there are differing opinions and points of view and approaches.
Absolutely. We're not one homogenous group. We don't all look the same, speak the same, think the same. And we have many clans and nations and many language groups, like you say. And that's why we can't think from a colonised perspective. And we've got to ensure that every clan and nation participates in a conversation around a treaty and what's important for them. Because what is important for First Nations people in Australia, and what is important for Northern First Nations people could be completely different. So we have to, it's like putting Australia in Europe, and there's so many different countries and so many different languages. It's the same here. And so we need to make sure that we're talking to those people that this will ultimately affect.
Or like putting Australia in South America.
Yes.
Where we mostly speak the same colonized language, which is Spanish, but that wasn't the case prior to colonization.
Yes. So it's very important that we don't lose our identity. We've already lost a lot of languages. And we've lost a lot of people. So, we don't want to be assimilated into the Australian way or the Australian culture. We have to build a new one, a new nation, a new identity that has the oldest value system and law system on earth. And we need to learn how we can work it together.
You spoke about the importance of land and water conservation. When you campaigned for a seat in Victoria, you spoke against logging the forest there. Could you tell me a little bit about the situation with that at the moment, as well as how you've been involved over the years in this campaigning for or against climate change?
Yeah, well, there's a lot of logging that goes on my country. I live, I'm a Gunai woman. And Gunai country is southeast of Victoria in Australia, southern end of Australia. And we have a beautiful, beautiful natural environment and beautiful bushland and water, mountains. And we have animals and species that belong to this particular part of country that we are inseparable from. We are one with those animals, and our role as Indigenous people of this country is we have to care and protect those animals and those other species from harm. And that's an ancient culture that we've practiced for thousands and thousands of generations. So to see the harm and the destruction of logging on my country, that not only harms our land, which we call our Mother Earth, it also affects Aboriginal people's health and well-being. So it affects our health and our mental health. And so the government in Victoria, the state government, are talking about a treaty, but at the same time they're logging our country. And in another part of the country, which is my matriarchal line, the Gunditjmara line, we had to fight the government to not bulldoze 800-year-old birthing trees. And we still have a 2-year-old protest line still protecting those trees today. So this is, again, the same government who wants to talk about a treaty with us. Mm. So when I talk about treaty, I'm not talking about the treaty, the state and territory treaties that people are talking about in this country now. I'm talking about a bigger vision of protection of land and water and people. So, there's climate change is right. It's here. It's already affecting Aboriginal people in this country. We have Aboriginal people in communities who used to sleep in humpies, tin shed humpies, little homes made out of tin. And these people can no longer live like that because it is so hot on their country from climate change. We have people on Torres Strait Islands who are losing their islands because of sea level rise. So the effects of climate change are here now. And First Nations people, Indigenous people right around the world need to be the voices for our country because we are the only ones who know how to look after it and bring it back to where it once was. Mm-hmm. And we need leadership to do that.
And in that regard, this year's NAIDOC theme is always was, always will be. Tell me what that phrase means to you.
That phrase is something that my uncle actually came up with, Robbie Thorpe. So my first thought is how proud I am of my uncle for coming up with that saying, because that will never change. This has always been Aboriginal land and it always will be Aboriginal land. The colonisers have done so much damage over the last 240 years, but we are still connected. Our song lines are still there, our spirit is in the land, and we are one with our country. So it always was and it always will be. Aboriginal land is something that is important to Aboriginal people across the country. We chant it at our rallies and we mention it in speeches and we just make it part of our platform. We have to keep reminding people that this is still our country. We have never ceded our sovereignty.
Speaking of treaties and sovereignty, you took part in the Uluru Convention. There you led the walkout in which various regional representatives who disagreed with the process led by the referendum council then, you walked out, you said you disagreed, you thought that the process was co-opted. What is your position now on the Uluru Statement from the Heart?
Look, my position hasn't changed all that much. I have agreed with the statement in terms of its content, but what needs to happen from that statement is the sequence of priority. And, it's a great statement. However, we need to put truth first and we need to put treaty next. We need a truth-telling exercise in this country where people can actually learn the true history of this country. Once they understand what's gone on here, then I think people would be more inclined to then participate in a treaty conversation and constitutional recognition or a voice to parliament or even seats in parliament can be negotiated through a treaty. Mm. It's something that we could get sooner than later. And we don't have to go to a referendum for it. So it will be much cheaper to the taxpayer. And it's things that legislation can enact immediately.
You talk about truth-telling. Truth-telling is actually one of the key points of the Uluru Statement from the Heart, as well as Makarrata, which would be the treaty part.
Absolutely. And that's why I say that we haven't moved away from the Uluru Statement. We've just reprioritised based on what grassroots Aboriginal people are saying around the country.
And what is that?
Truth, treaty, voice. And that voice can be a negotiation point as part of the treaty process.
As a migrant Latin American woman myself, when I moved to Australia, I really craved to learn more about Aboriginal and Torres Strait Islanders and your cultures, as I felt when I arrived here in Australia that without doing so, I was missing out on this possibly the most significant and remarkable aspect of this land. But I really had to actively seek out. It wasn't something that was easy to find. But in that process, I was amazed at the parallels between our histories of colonization and dispossession. And I realized also how much I had personally lost, which was something that wasn't evident to me until I was confronted with Australian history and kind of reflected in that history. How do you think migrants like me that might be listening to this interview could learn more and connect more with First Australians?
Well, that's a very good question. You know, we have been Australia's dirty little secret for a very long time. And that's because they have tried to wipe us out. They failed and we are still here. And that's where we need to gain support from all over the world and within Australia to join with us to demand that this government or the Crown participates or comes to the table in a treaty process or, you know, a treaty dialogue. There is a lot of information out there where a lot of Aboriginal people are on social media. There's a lot of Aboriginal social media groups. But there's also places like Victoria University. There's an Aboriginal unit there. And they have an abundance of information and resources. It's also part of the challenge for us as Aboriginal people. With only 3% of the population, there's many demands on one person. So we need allies to help put that information out there once they do, you know, do their own homework and their own research to gain that information. That's where Australia has kept this kind of information out of the public domain and made it inaccessible. So this is part of truth telling. We've got to get that information and share it and run forums around the true history so that we can move on. We can't resolve anything until we accept what's happened and acknowledge and even reparate to what, you know, needs to be put back to how it was before. In all of our educational institutions, from childcare to primary to secondary to tertiary education in Australia, they've told lies. And they've never allowed the truth to come through. So we've got generations and generations of people who've come through the colonial education system here in Australia that have no idea what's happened. And that's why when an Aboriginal person speaks out or speaks up or runs for parliament, the discrimination and the racism is so bad and so relentless, because they're just, we are beneath them. We are considered the bottom rung of people in our own country. And I've heard migrants say, young migrant women actually said that to me, and they cried to me because that's how they thought when they came here and lived here for a couple of years. They just assumed that that's what we were. We were the bottom rung of the people in this country. And so that's a perpetual violence that the colonial system puts on First Nations people in this country, and we've got to stop it. We've got to end this violence.
Lydia Thorpe, thank you so much for your time today for SBS Spanish.
My pleasure. Can I just say, buenas tardes? Do I say it right?
Yeah, almost. Yeah, yeah.
I have to practice.
That's great. All that. Thank you so much, Lydia. Have a good one. Cheers.
Bye.
Dale un like, comparte, comenta. Sigue a SBS Spanish en Facebook.